أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. طه، ما أنزلنا عليك القرآن لتشقى إلا تذكرة لمن يخشى. تنزيلا ممن خلق الأرض والسماوات العلى. الرحمن على العرش استوى. له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وما بينهما وما تحت الثرى. وإن تجهر بالقول فإنه يعلم السر وأخفى. الله لا إله إلا هو له الأسماء الحسنى. وهل أتاك حديث موسى إذ رأى نارا فقال لأهلهم امكثوا إني آنست نارا لعلي آتيكم منها بقبس أو أجد على النار هدى. فلما آتاها نودي يا موسى إني أنا ربك فاخلع عليك إنك بالوادي المقدس طوى. وأنا اخترتك فاستمع لما يوحى. إنني أنا الله لا إله إلا أنا فاعبدني وأقم الصلاة لذكري. إن الساعة آتية أكاد أخفيها لتجزى كل نفس بما تسعى. فلا يصدنك عنها من لا يؤمن بها واتبع هواه فتردى.
السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم والتابعين إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. اللهم ارزقنا علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وشفاء من كل داء، ونعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن عين لا تدمع ومن نفس لا تشبع ومن دعاء لا يستجاب له. آمين 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 يا رب العالمين. اللهم يا بر يا رحيم، يا حنان يا منان، يا أكرم الأكرمين، يا علي يا عظيم، يا عليم يا خبير، يا سميع يا قريب، يا مجيب يا نور يا هادي، يا الله يا الله يا الله، افتح علينا فتحا مبينا يا رب العالمين، واجعل هذا المجلس مجلسا مباركا يا رب العالمين، وارزقنا نور العلم وحكمة العلم وبصيرة العلم وفهم العلم والعمل بما نعلم وتعليم من يريد أن يتعلم، ونكون دعاة مهتدين غير ضالين ولا مضلين ولا فاتنين ولا مفتونين، برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. أما بعد، what I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the light of knowledge, the wisdom of knowledge, the basira, the vision of knowledge, the comprehending of knowledge, the tawfiq to live according to this knowledge, and to convey the message of this knowledge, and to spread the knowledge, and to be inviter of this knowledge, We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the reality of the knowledge and to give us the tawfiq of the blessing and the barakah of the knowledge. Because knowledge is not what we think and what we seek. Knowledge is a light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like Imam Shafi'i said, rahmatullahi alayhi. Not, ليس العلم بكثرة الرواية ولكن العلم نور يقذفه الله في قلب من يحب. Knowledge is not the amount of recitation and the amount of memorization, but knowledge is a light from Allah. He spread it and He put it in the heart of whom He loved. By this way, the first thing we need to do, set intention. What is my intention? What is your intention? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He give us according to our intention. My intention, inshaAllah, how to make you close to Allah. How me and you to be close to Allah. How we understand who's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How we live as a Muslim and we convey the message towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And your intention not to be to hear it. This is the wrong intention. But the intention is, O Allah, open my heart, open my chest to receive the light of knowledge, say Ameen. The wisdom of knowledge, say Ameen. The guidance of knowledge, say Ameen. The mercy of knowledge, say Ameen. The comprehending of knowledge, say Ameen. The wisdom of knowledge, say Ameen. The blessing of knowledge, say Ameen. And the tawfiq and the ability to live according to this knowledge, say Ameen. And to convey this knowledge and carry it until you die, say Ameen. Insha'Allah, today, by the will of Allah, I have to let you know what I'm planning, and you have to know where we're going together. By this way, we'll be all united by one heart, where we go. We have only less than 1 month and a half. And we always come late anyway. And we need a lot of question and answer. Can we really do Tafsir Quran in 1 month and a half? No way. But what we can do, let me tell you what I will, inshallah, by the will of Allah, try to do, and tell me if you agree or disagree. Okay? Now, people even today when they do Tafsir Quran, we have to know something. Some people ask, what is Tafsir is good? Because a lot of Tafsir in the market. You have to know there is no such Tafsir is good. All Tafsir, inshallah, it has blessing and nur and knowledge. But you have to know. Some tafsir, they call a tafsir lagwi, meaning tafsir according to the language. Some tafsir according to hadith. Some tafsir according to the revelation. Some tafsir according to ahkam, the hukm, the ruling, and the sharia. Many tafsir. Some tafsir according to the understanding of the scholar. How many is tafsir? Allah knows. The famous one, it can be 20, it can be 30, it can be 40, according to where you're coming from. You have at least in Arabic countries at least 15, 17 tafsir, very famous. In your country, at least another 5, 7. And different country, another one. Something is very important, we have to agree about it. If today we really understand Islam, is this will be our condition? No way. If we understanding how to read Quran, is this our condition? No way. I give you example happened to us, and something opened my heart to it. And please don't be offended if I said Pakistani and Indian community. Because I do not mean to attack Indian and Pakistani community. Because I'm talking to the majority of you Indian and Pakistani community. If I talk to Arabic, I will talk according to their own disease. To make you feel good, the whole ummah is sick. But each country and each group of people have different disease than other. By this way, it's not the wisdom to sit down now and tell you about the disease of the Moroccan people or the disease about the Egyptian. No. Because the majority is you from the Far East. If I'm sitting with Arabic people now, I will talk about their own disease. By this way, I do not want you to think I'm attacking you. No. There's no time for attacking you or attacking me. The main thing is to learn. Now, in your English language, when you get up for making salah, what you said, let's read salah. This is a sick word. A very sick word. Very sick. And I find somebody, without mentioning name, he quoted hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَ. The best one among you who learn Quran and teach it. Right away when he translated by his tongue, he said, the best among you who read Quran and read it. Is this honest translation? No. Is this what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mean? No. And this why, with all respect to you, when you look at your salah, what you do, especially our youth, and even our adult, Allahu Akbar, and go down. Up, down, up, down, up, down, salah is finished. What you did, mommy, I read my salah. Daddy, I read my salah. You're right, you read your salah. Did you do salah? No, this is not salah. Salah is not reading. Salah is a communication between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his servant, and between the servant and Allah. By this way, if I go to salah with the intention I'm going to read, is wrong. If I'm going to read Quran with the intention I'm going to read, is wrong. Is the wrong understanding, is the wrong mentality. And you have to know, if you go back to the history of each, all of us, the colonism and the enemy of Islam did a good job. What they did is, they spread a bad seed in every country. You go to Indonesia and Malaysia, they recite Quran better than even Arabic people. They do adhan, you cannot believe it. They make you cry. But you do not understand too. You have a sheikh and sheikha. You have a sheikh reciting Quran and sheikha reciting Quran. You find in Egypt, in Cairo, you find a lot of Indonesian Malaysian coming with one intention. To study Arabic and read Quran and recite Quran and be excellent in reciting and reading Quran. Once you do that, they leave. What do you think what they can teach their own people? Reciting Quran. Can we live Quran? No. Can we understand and comprehend Quran? No. Yes, you would be a very good reciter. I did not meet the majority of Malaysian and Indonesian, they recite Quran even better than me. So beautifully, so eloquently. But you do not understand it. How you live something you cannot understand and comprehend? Your people the same. But your people will argue. Arabic people cannot recite. Arabic people cannot read. You're right. Arabic people do not know how to read Quran. Arabic people has no Arabic. Why? Because the colonism did a good job with us. We in the street of any Arabic country, we speak a dialect Arabic, broken Arabic, no Arabic. A leftover Arabic mixed with everything. And you grow. If you try today to speak to Arabic as Arabic, meaning Arabic Quran, Arabic, Arabic, 99% of the 100, nobody will understand it. Unless certain educated people. This fact. This fact. Is Egyptian speak Arabic? No. Is Moroccan speak Arabic? No. If even Saudi Arabian speak Arabic? Some of them, yes. But even it is was years, is a lot of dialogue. Why? Because all of us went away from Quran. Is this understood? Okay, now. My belief is, if we go back to the basic of the basic, how Quran revealed? What is Quran? What it mean? Why Allah revealed it this way? How I can comprehend Quran? And if I'm still alive and you're still alive, I'm going to give you some of what I call it the jewel of the Quran, or I call it the star of the Quran, or I call it the keys of the Quran. I will explain it when the time comes. Now, before we talk about Quran, is this understood between me and you now? Is anybody against what I'm saying? Do you agree? By this way, when we comprehend something, when we understand it, it makes a huge difference. Huge difference. Even the Quran we have in our hand is not the Quran has been revealed. It's different sequence. The revelation, the sequence of revelation is completely different than the sequence of the Quran. Why? We have to know why. If I want to live Quran in my heart, what is the best way? We have two Quran. Anybody tell me what the two Quran?
Is it Mecca and Medina?
MashaAllah. The Quran Makki, the Quran Medina. What's the difference between Quran Makki and Quran Medina? What's the difference between Quran Makki and Quran Medina? One revealed in Mecca, one revealed in Medina. What's the difference? Now, the difference in a place. What's the difference? What's the major difference between Quran Mecca and Quran Medina? Yes, Wadi.
One longer than the
other. What's that?
One longer than the other.
One longer than another. Which one is longer?
Mecca.
Okay. Yes, Mecca is longer than Medina. But in the meantime, what is the major difference? MashaAllah. Okay, the Makki Surah, the Makki Quran is only talking about one topic, the oneness of Allah. Only to build Iman and Yaqeen, nothing else. The whole Quran, how much of the Quran is the Quran Makki? How much of the Quran is the Quran Makki? Two-thirds of the Quran in Mecca. Two-thirds of the Quran talking about one thing. How is this heart to be connected to Allah? Who is Allah? What is the Quran Madani? Containing a lot of the tashriya, a lot of regulation, a lot of the ahkam. Now, is we today, all of us, including me, do we ever have Quran Makki in our life? Do we ever study Quran Makki? Do we ever comprehend Quran Makki? Do we ever know Quran Makki? Do you know that meaning? Can me and you living really according to La ilaha illallah is no way. Is no way. Unless you live Quran Makki and comprehend it and you really study it little by little, you will never have La ilaha illallah. Never. Because if we have La ilaha illallah, today we will never have this situation. And not only that, can I give you a lesson and a teaching about La ilaha illallah and that's it, MashaAllah, I give you Quran Makki in one session or two sessions, I will be a liar and you will be a liar. Because this is a lifetime. Even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gave it in over 13 years. Is Allah is wise or me wise? Tell me. Allah is wise or me wise? Can anybody say I'm wiser than Allah? If we believe Allah is the most wise, Allah is Hakim. If Allah is Hakim, how come we, me and you, when we talk about Islam and Quran, we just running to Medina? I bear witness to Allah today. If you fear Allah and believe in Allah and you meet Muslim or non-Muslim, don't talk about Medina at all. Just be focused in Mecca. Unless we have Mecca, we will never go to Medina. And I bear witness, young and old, we do not have Mecca. We do not have it. We do not have it. Even the scholar who coming, he has Quran, he has Nazrullah, he has everything, but he's not living it. Because even if you live in it, but you're not conveyed, you do not know Quran. You have to live it, and you have to convey it. Can I convey it with a price? Can I convey it as a job? No way.
You have to convey and you struggle for it between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reimburse you. This is a work of Allah. And otherwise, in the Day of Judgment, Allah will come and tell you, you work for me, but you take your prize from people. Go to your people, get the reward from them. Go to your people and get the reward from them, the one you give, they give you. There's many a hadith about that. Unless the intention purely to Allah, unless you ache for Islam, and this will never happen, unless you go back to how Quran has been revealed and the sequence of Quran. Is this understood? Now, let's go step by step. And I will try to summarize it, by this way we benefit the maximum amount of time. And this also, what I'm going to start talking about it now, is so dangerous, because now the majority of Muslims in America, Australia, and Europe, they doing it. They do something so guilty in the front of Allah. They invited people to Islam with the revelation. It doesn't work. And it's against Allah's sunnah. Meaning, I cannot encourage you and tell you, you know something? If you embrace Islam, it can benefit you. You can marry for a wife. You can divorce your wife. You can do that. You can do this. I cannot do that. It's the wrong message. And if you do not believe me, it's a beautiful book called Milestone. He talk about that in detail. He talk about only one topic. What it means, La ilaha illallah. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam came, he came in what? In a state of ignorance, a state of jahiliyyah, a state of people who is completely unbelievable. You're talking about a man, a group of men go to a tent, sleep with one woman, and after that they make her free. Which child will be for whom? You're talking about a town, people used to make a tawaf naked. And they believe this is the right tawaf. There is statue of order. Like one man came to Rasulullah some later on in Medina, and an old man. And Rasulullah, he won't give him advice. And he was very old, very wise. I forget his name, I will remember his name later on, inshallah. And he asked him, he told him, when you have a need, you call the one in the sky or the one in earth? He said, the one in the sky. He said, if you are sick, you call the one in the sky or the one in earth? He said, the one in the sky. And he keep repeating this question until he tell him, why you need the one in earth? If all you need to hold the one in the sky. Because you have 360 statues around the Kaaba. They give the statue the food. They give it respect. They give it charity. And people later on take the charity and run. You see, it was an ajab business, a beautiful business. A scam. Anyway, this is the situation. Men, when they used to have a girl, a female get born, his face become black. He get upset. And he call it a disgrace. And he takes a child, decorate it, and bury life. He buried his own daughter alive because he feels it's a shame. Today I take you to the majority of hostel, especially with Arabic and even your people. When the man has a boy, his face is lit. 1,000 watt. And when you receive a girl, alhamdulillah, is a girl. What is it? Is jahiliyyah again? Is jahiliyyah again? If we have a girl, we get upset. Some people for divorce their wife. He said, my wife getting girls. I need a woman get me a man. It's almost like she's an incubator, working according to his will. She can give a man or a woman. And he forget, it's nothing belong to her or me. Do you know Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam what he said? He said, the most blessed man among you, the one Allah start his seed with a girl. Meaning when you, the first one to come in birth is a girl, is a blessing and barakah from Allah to you. Do we believe in Rasulullah? Do we really believe in Rasulullah? But look at our men in the time, in the hospital when he receive a girl, with beard or without a beard. Look at his face and look at his action and his behavior. Is this following Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? I should be very happy. The moment I see a girl coming, I should believe in what Rasulullah promised me. I should be very happy. But if I'm living in my own jahiliyyah, in my own ignorance, what I will do? I wish he's a boy. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. This is in a state of jahiliyyah. They have no economy. They have no army. They have no strength. People used to attack them from all over. They're really in a state of ignorance. You name it, you can read about it. Every disease in the Ummah today, they used to have the same. And today we have the same. Exactly. Fighting each other for nothing. Fighting for each other for mirat, inheritance. Oppressing each other. Envy each other. Looking to each other. Is all this what? Jahiliyyah. Ignorant. Now, according to all the scholar and all the historian, they said, if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he received revelation, he said to his clan and his people, listen, I have the cure. I can fix your problem. They will listen to him. I have a beautiful system, can fix all your economic problem. They will listen to him. I have a system, can fix your inheritance problem. They will listen. I have a fix, it will unite you between the clan and the clan. They will listen. Is Rasulullah never did that? No. Is even Allah never did that? No. The message was very clear for 13 years. What is it? La ilaha illallah. And this is the main core of the da'wah. Is today we do that? We go to the churches. We go to places, we go to colleges, we try to, oh you know, but Islam can do this, Islam can do that, and we forget the message. We forget the message. At this moment, do you believe in Rasulullah? No, you do not believe in Rasulullah. Because if you believe in Rasulullah, if you believe in the Sunnah of Allah, if you believe Allah is wise, you have to take the same route. In any given time, in any time here of history. Because you'll ever forget me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Quran and revelation over 23 years. The early scholar and pious people, what they said? They said, in any given time, in a history, or in mankind, or any land, you want to revive Islam again, in a Muslim or non-Muslim, what you do? Go back to the 23 years. And go to the same sequence. And this is what today we're missing. We're missing the sequence. Every group and every sect and every jama'ah, they become one piece of Islam and they won't live in it. But we forget the basic. We have to live La ilaha illallah. Unless we have La ilaha illallah, we're not going anywhere. Because La ilaha illallah bound. La ilaha illallah make you divorce dunya. La ilaha illallah make you love each other. La ilaha illallah make us a brother and sister in Islam. La ilaha illallah make you sacrifice. La ilaha illallah make you work for Allah and no another one. But today, because we have no lack and lack of La ilaha illallah, this is our condition. How many Muslims has money in America and Australia? And how many of these rich people really donated for good deed? And how much they donate? Why is he not donate enough? Why is he not working for Allah? Why we as a young people, we willing to spend 14 years in college and get a degree, but in the meantime, we're lacking a basic knowledge of Allah. How? Because the reality is not there. One sister, I was talking to her now, she called me after 1 year. And I tell her, why are you running away? I ever done something wrong to you? She said, no. I ever treat you bad? She said, no. I tell her, why are you running away? She said, I'm weak, I'm a sinner. I tell her, listen, I have a couple of questions for you. If I come now and tell you, come to me, I have a job for you, $1,000 a day. Do you run away? She said, no. I said, even $500 a day, you will come? She said, yes. I tell you, organize your time? She said, yes. I tell you, see, for $500, I'm willing to sell my husband, my wife, my whatever, everybody, just to make sure. And she's willing to fight so hard to make sure her husband agrees she has to get the job. It's $500. It's $1,000. Who can say no? And I see it. But once we come to Islam and working for Allah, we retract. Do you know why? Because the reality of Jannah is not in our heart. The reality of Jannah is not in our heart. The reality of the price Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saving for us is not in our heart. The reality of what Allah promised is not in our heart. And this is why our reality of our action, our soul, our love, our devotion, our sacrifice, completely the opposite of what Allah promised. And this is why, if you look to the early people who embrace Islam, they're very clever. These people is very clever. The one in Arabic Peninsula, the one we call them so arrogant and so stubborn and so illiterate and so jahiliya ignorant, they're more intelligent than us. Look what they used to do. A man coming to Rasulullah and said, Ya Rasulullah, if I believe in what you say, and I do what you command me to do, what I have? He said, Allah will give you Jannah. He said, what is Jannah? He explained it to him. He said, you know what something? What you tell me is the best nourishment. Give me your hand. I give you bite. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in the Quran, these are ones who understand nourishment. Come to the bargain between you and Allah. To say La ilaha illallah and do not worship except Allah and do not associate anybody with Allah, except Allah, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you Jannah. Right away when they hear it, it makes sense to them. How come it makes sense to them and we cannot make sense to us? How? We're supposed to be the learned people. We're supposed to be the intellect people. We're supposed to be mashallah people. The people of the ummah, the people who really know. How come we do not get what they get? Think. How come the basic message Rasulullah gave it, they understood it, but we never understand it? Because if you go back to the Arabic people and Arabic language, they used to say, what is the difference between the honest and sincere person and a liar? And also, if you look in the dictionary of Arabic language, you find a liar equal hypocrite. Meaning, if somebody lies, they used to call him a hypocrite. And a hypocrite, if he is a hypocrite, they said he's a liar. And if you go to what the terminology, what it means, a hypocrite or a liar, they said the one who says something and do another. The one who says something and do another. Meaning your action and your word is not equal. He's a liar or he's a hypocrite. And this is scary. This is scary. The people when they embrace Islam, what happened? Once they said, La ilaha illallah, they're willing to divorce the wife, husband, father, mother, life, clan, everything for the word they pronounce. The word they really embrace. And this is why I said today, the majority of us never embrace Islam, really. Honest to Allah, if you go back, you inherited some lecture and some worship, some inheritance of Islam. But you never embrace Islam. To embrace Islam, to between you and Allah said, Allah, you are the one. Not because of mommy and daddy, not because somebody wished you to come. No. Not because your husband. No. It's a journey between you and Allah, and it has no barrier, no age. Some companion was 9, 7, 11, 12. It has nothing to do with age. It's to do with the purity of your heart, your honesty between you and Allah. Because don't forget, it's an oath, it's a commitment between you and Allah. It has that. The moment you're doing it, is no priest, is no imam, is no sheikh, is no father, is no mother. It's a completely relationship between you and Allah. And this was the Quran Makki hammer. The Quran Makki hammer this message for 13 years straight. Why? Anybody know why Allah hammers this? Why Allah hammers this message for 13 years? We go back and said Allah is wise. Allah is Hakim. He knows if this hammered inside, if this digged deep inside the heart, the rest is easy. And if it's not digged inside the heart, you cannot do anything. This why, even Aisha radiallahu anha, what she said? She said, we the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If Allah give us the ahkam, if Allah give us the regulation, in the time of Mecca, the majority of us will never implement it. The majority of us never implemented because our iman is not really strong. And this is why I tell anybody, you want to invite to Allah, please, honestly, fear Allah and go to the basic. The majority of the ummah is not ready. The majority of ummah is too far. Or you want to do ahkam, you want to go do sharia, do it according to your level. But don't advise others with the same way you have. Why? Everybody, Allah allowed to have certain opening, certain guidance from Allah. Can I give you what Allah gave me? I can. We have to respect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I have to respect who you are. And this also the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, talk to people according to their level. And he used to recite one verse or one hadith 3 times, slowly. Why? To make sure people comprehend it. It's not how much I talk and how much you listen. By this way, this is a fundamental now, basic. Quran revealed over 23 years, slowly and according to situation. And 13 years in Mecca, only the oneness of Allah. 10 years in Medina, and the majority of the ruling and constitution. Not only to the companion, to mankind. And this has a lot of wisdom behind it. I'm going to go through it now. But again, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina, in Mecca, when people used to tell him, leave it, call it something else, he said, no, la ilaha illallah. By this way, fear Allah is the one you're inviting to Allah. And don't invite non-Muslim and try to persuade them from the message. No, make it clear. The main thing is the message. Who's the creator? The earth is going. We're going to die. This is the message. The same Quran Makki, use it with Muslim and non-Muslim alike. Don't use Medina. And even if people ask you, fiqh question, why Rasulullah married Aisha? How old is Aisha? Why we divorce? Why we have 4 wives? Why we have polygamy? All this is for the believer. If we today is a believer and we cannot handle it, you want the non-Muslim to handle it? We are really out of whack, really. We are a bye-bye people, we're not a Muslim. Because if we were a Muslim, we would understand and we have basira, we have wisdom. Who's talking to me? I see people, and they're ready to argue with non-Muslim about different fiqh questions. The fiqh question, the regulation, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. Oh, you believe. Is a person in the front of me, oh, you believe? Or Ya ayyuha alnas. If he Ya ayyuha alnas, I have to talk to him according to ayyuha alnas. What happened if he talked to me about different regulation? I tell him very simple. I did it in many church before. They asked me many questions about Quran. I said, with all respect to you, this book, you do not believe in the Akhirah. What is worrying you about what's inside? If you do not believe in the Akhirah, you do not believe in the book, what's the big deal? If I'm wrong, if I'm out of work, this is my problem. You should worry about one thing. If this book is really a revelation or not. If it's a revelation, you have to take it. If it's not a revelation, you have to invite me to your revelation. Finished. But we cannot keep digging inside about different topic and try to figure out why. I said, because what you're talking about is revelation. For me, it's revelation. For you, you do not like it. If I talk to you about what does the revelation mean, I oppress you. Because you do not believe. You're not ready to obey. Even us, we're not ready to obey. Why? Our iman, our faith is down. But the moment you believe in the book, the moment you believe it is revelation from the Creator, your eyes and reading will be completely different. By this way, please focus with anyone. Is this book is really the book of Allah or not? Period. And make it easy for yourself and easy to others. Because shaitan will open all kind of topic, and before you know it, you believe, mashallah, I give them all the hujjah. I give them all the evidence. In the front of Allah, I give them all the hujjah. No, you argue. You're so arrogant. You try to make believe, and you forget. You're supposed to leave a seed of thinking. Like somebody said, the best way to really advise everybody about Islam and invite toward Islam, talk about what above the earth and what underneath it. What above the earth? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What underneath it? The grave. This is enough da'wah to everybody. Remind people who's about you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remind people who's Allah. Remind people who's about you, Allah. What about our eyes? What about our soul? Breathing, stomach. You name it, we have it as bear witness of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you remember death. I was talking to an atheist woman from France, and she's trying to stuck in many topics. I give her one question. I tell her, do you ever study about the bee's hive? The bee's hive is a kingdom. It is so well organized. You go to Chinese bee's hives, similar exactly like the Canadian, similar to the one in Latin America, the one in the desert, the one in Malaysia, the one in Africa, they all identical. I tell her, which bees go to which college to learn how to do what she's doing? Who teaching these bees what to do? How comes he have a complete system? Do you know what she did? She went with her finger and she said, the one. I said, now you are evidence according to yourself or against yourself. You have to know, is one exist? And this one deserves to be worshipped. By this way, focus on this topic. What about us? Believe me, all of us need the same thought like the non-Muslim. Forgive me, but all of us need the thought like the non-Muslim. Why? We never have it. Because if we have it, this not will be our condition. This not will be our houses. Because he really wants to know the condition of you as a Muslim, look at your own house. Look at your own bedroom. Look what you doing. Don't look to the masajid. Today we looked to the masajid and said, this is the status of the ummah. No. Mecca has no masjid. Mecca has no even one single masjid. Mecca as a masajid was in the room of everybody. Everybody embraced Islam. He used to go back and live it inside his own room and convey it to other. It was room to room. Room to room. Not even house to house. This was he was ready to emigrate after 13 years and divorce everything behind him for what? For only one sentence. La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is a basic message. Now, let's go to some topic step by step to comprehend what I'm talking about. And ask Allah to put barakah in our time. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi, he said something very beautiful. But before we say what he said, one of the author of this book, his name Al-Imam Al-Zarqashi. And this Imam, he said, what is Quran? He said, Quran is like a pure water and light to grow the happiness and the light of the human being inside out. And with it, the veil will be open, the heart will be open, the vision will be seen. And he said, he recited this verse from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran, يُلَقِّي رَوْحَ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ عَلَى مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he called Quran Ruh. Ruh meaning soul. Allah sent the soul from Allah to whom he want. This was, he say, the life of a human being according to what he has in his heart. What it means? If I have Quran, I should be alive. If I have Quran, I should be in a state of happiness. This is the reality of Quran. Now, Imam Shafi'i, rahmatullah alayhi, he said something amazing. When they asked him about Quran, he said, what the whole ummah talk about it is the comprehending of the sunnah. Listen carefully now. He said, what we talking about it supposed to be, this is the talk of Imam Shafi'i. He said, what we talking about it is the comprehending of the sunnah. And the comprehending of the sunnah is the comprehending of Quran. And the comprehending of the Quran is the comprehending of the name of Allah. And the comprehending of the name of Allah, it leads you to the most highest name of Allah. And this was the whole purpose of Quran. The whole purpose of Quran to lead us to the one. That's it. If the Quran and the teaching of Quran do not lead us to the one, we have no Quran. This why one Imam, his name Ibn Qayyim al-Juzayr, he transferred a book by one Imam, his name al-Haris al-Makki al-Muhasibi, and this Imam, he wrote four volumes for one verse. And he said, if I'm not making it short, it will be 12 volumes, but I won't make it shorter for you. Imagine 12 volumes for one verse. He wrote 4 volumes or 12 volumes for one verse. And Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Juzayr, he took it and he summarized it in 3 volumes, big 3 volumes. And he said, I wish I can summarize it more, but I can. I did the maximum I can. Do you know what this verse is? And this Imam, he said, this verse is the core of the whole Islam. I said it before, and I said it here. Anybody remember? MashaAllah. What did he say? He said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed all kind of books and all kind of revelation. And he summarized it in 4. Zabur, Torah, Injil, and Quran. And he summarized all of them in the Quran. And he summarized the Quran in Surah Al-Fatiha. And he summarized the Surah Al-Fatiha in one verse. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. The whole Quran is summarized in this verse. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. And even they give a lot of interpretation, we can go through it another time, about just why Allah used إِيَّاكَ. Only you, nobody else. If I want to translate just word إِيَّاكَ will be, is no way anybody else can be worshipped. Is no way anybody can deserve to be worshipped except you. And nobody else should be seek for support and victory. Nobody. You should not seek anybody except Allah in any given time. And look at what we're doing today. We seek everybody except Allah. When we have a problem, when we have a disease, when we have a calamity, singular or group or pillar, whatever, we're seeking other than Allah. And the summary of this book, I can tell you what he said. He said, if you want to summarize the 3 volume, what it said? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, according to the status of your worship, according to my status of supporting you. According to the status of how much you have Allah in your heart, the status of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supporting you. Meaning, do not raise your hand and your heart is empty. Do not raise your hand and your heart full of money, or full of dunya, full of envy, full of jealousy. You cannot be in a state of garbage and say, oh Allah, it doesn't work. This is why Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said, in our time, we have some people die, do not remember in Quran except 3 chapters. Very tiny chapter, but the implementing Quran. And the time come, and he said this hadith, or said this report, 12 years after Rasulullah died, and he said, the time come, your kids will memorize Quran from one page to another, but they have no Quran in their heart. He said, we are the companion. You can smell us from a long distance. Why? We have only one dress. And you guys taking shower after shower, and you perfume yourself, and you think this is cleansing. But when you raise your hand, Allah will not accept your dua. Why? What's the difference? The piety, the closeness to Allah, the love of Allah, the fear of Allah. Look at us today. I bear witness, I said in last week in the camp we did. Today our mothers are most prominent of the ummah. We worship our kids. We do not worship Allah. We worship our kids. Day and night we think about our kids. How many times we think about the Ummah? How many times we think about Allah? Like Alhamdulillah, some girls, when I ask him, what's the message to give to the parents? Love Allah more than me. Fear Allah more than me. Be busy with Allah more than me. Don't worry about me. Because it's a reality. Do you think if the companion did what we did, they would do what they did? No way. We worship our kids. The best one to destroy the Ummah is the mother today. It's not the Jews, it's not the Christian, it's us. Doesn't mean the mother is bad and the father, mashallah. The father is bye-bye. All he worry about money. You push him to make money and he's running like chicken without head, not in the house, and you are sitting ignorant, do not know what to do. You never have tarbiyah, you never have Islam, you never have sunnah, and you want your kids to be hypocrite like you. How? It doesn't work. At least seek knowledge. At least cry to Allah. At least tell him the truth. I'm sick. Don't look at me. Don't imitate me. And if we're sick, we go to the doctor. And the main doctor of the Ummah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what he said, يُؤْتِ الْحِكْمَةَ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَمَنْ يُؤْتِ الْحِكْمَةَ فَقَدْ أُوْتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gives a wisdom to whom he wants. And whoever Allah gives him wisdom, he gets the ultimate khair, the ultimate goodness from Allah. What is the wisdom? Many scholars said, wisdom is a sunnah. Wisdom is a vision of Allah. Wisdom is a basira from Allah. Wisdom is the way Allah loves. Wisdom to get you closer to Allah. This is the wisdom. If you go to Yale and Harvard and Berkeley and get a master's degree, a professor's degree, but you have no Allah in your heart, you are a loser. You are dead. You are dead. And if you have nothing and you have Allah, you are a winner. Do we have that? Do we teach our kids that? But we worry. We worry about the cars, the houses, the style of clothing, the status, the money, the amount of gold. What kind of husband we get? Garbage can. But it's a doctor. Or an engineer. Why we pick him up? For the money. We don't care about his manner. We don't care about his quality. All we care about is the money. And before you know, you're stuck with him. Why? Because he was greedy from the beginning. And Allah let you pay for it. And before you know it, you worship what? The house. And after that, you become lonely. And he's 99% of the time outside. You cannot see him, he's a ghost. And even if you see him, he said, I wish he'd get run away, go from his bad man. Why? Because again, the priority of our life is different. Now, another one of the tabi'een, his name is Sufyan ibn Uyayna, he said, سأصرف عن آيات الذين يتكبرون في الأرض بغير الحق. This verse is located in Surah Al-A'raf, verse 146. Do you know what Allah said in this verse? When I hear it, it's really scary. سأصرف عن آيات. I will make the sign of me, the wisdom of me, the comprehending of my sign, away of those who's arrogant in my earth. Now we're supposed to be carrying the Quran, but do we really understand it? No. Who make us away from Quran? Allah. Why? Allah promise. Do you notice this tabi'i imam, the follower of the companion, what he said? He said, I will make you an orphan. I will make you an orphan and I will snatch from you the mercy of the Quran. I will not allow you to understand and comprehend Quran. This is the ultimate torture from Allah to a Muslim or non-Muslim. To make you blind. You read Quran, you're coming for a session, you're going back and forth, but you do not get it. It's not living inside of you. Why? Because the heart is arrogant. This is why I always believe, even before we talk about Quran, we should start talking about purifying the heart. Because Quran will not come in a dirty heart. Like the early people, they said, don't put the knowledge of Allah in a garbage can. it will not work. It will be a disgrace. Disgrace to the knowledge, and there's no use for it. This is why even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he disgraced the scholar of Bani Israel, what he said? He gives an example, like a donkey carrying books. We are supposed to be the carrier of Quran, but what are we doing? We ignore Quran and we go after something else. Isn't that a disgrace? This is why the early scholar said, you disgrace Quran, Allah disgrace you. You give dignity to Quran, Allah give you dignity. Wallahi, I see it in my life. You want to know who you are? You want to know really who you are and how others deal with you? Look to the level of Quran in your heart. Not how much you memorize, the level. Meaning how much you value Quran. Is meaning Quran Sharif once a month or once every 2 months? And you get corrupted, Imam sitting, read and make dua and that's it. And everybody's happy and spreading food and some sweet. And you're coming dead and you're living dead. And you think you did something. And in the end, they give the Imam a couple of $100, everybody's happy. And you find some Imam is so busy in the weekend doing what? Quran Sharif, house to house, so busy, and become a routine. If it's da'wah to Allah, this not will be our status. When you buy a house, Quran Sharif. When somebody did, Quran Sharif. But after somebody's dead, or someone after he buys a house, disco Sharif. And the whole house is nonsense. Where is the Quran? Is the Quran only for the blessing overnight? And once everybody go, the music start? And the nonsense start? Does this make sense? And after that we look, why is a non-Muslim disgracing us? Why we do not have a level? Why we not where we are? Because the reality of Quran is not on our heart. Believe me, if I tell you today, if we leave after 1 month and a half, and we understand only one verse, one word of the Quran, and we have it in our heart, I am a winner and you are a winner. But in the heart, not in the ear. If we start give dignity to Quran, all of us has Quran hanging in the car, Quran hanging in the house. But is this really the elevation of Quran? No. No. The elevation of the Quran is a pure understanding comprehending is Allah is the doer. Do you know really if you tell me what is the Quran? I tell you Quran is only one message. The whole Quran is only one to tell you one message. Allah is the doer. Nothing can be happening without the will of Allah. You cannot do nothing without the will of Allah. All of us like running in a videotape compared to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knowledge. And if you do that, if you understand that, you will never seek nobody except Allah. And when you go to the grave, the only one can benefit you is only one. Can you call your husband in the moment of death? My husband, come please, angel of death is coming. Can he do anything for you? Oh doctor, come. Doctor what? Doctor cannot do anything to the angel of death. What, you want to give tranquilizer to the angel of death? Excuse me, leave my husband alone? Or my wife alone? No. Actually today some of you might say, oh, give him. I need the money, I need the house. Oh, bye bye husband. You know, you save me 50% Allah of hadith. You know, you drive me nuts. Go. Salaamu alaykum. Alhamdulillah, Rabbah, he's gone. Why? Because the reality of the Quran is not there. One scholar, his name is Imam al-Qurtubi, rahmatullah alayhi, he wrote 2 volumes about death. And the end of the 2 volumes, he said something very beautiful and amazing. A small sentence, but I never forget it. Because it's so powerful. He said, we always as a human being love to have friendship. This friendship, we can depend on them. A friendship we can trust. A friendship can benefit us. And he said, when the moment of death comes, you will realize no friendship in your life can benefit you except one. No friendship in your life at all can benefit you except one. Who's that? Who's that? Allah. Only Allah. Do you know, if you live as a Muslim, in the moment of death, according to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do you know what will happen? If you just say in your grave, Ya Allah, you know what Allah said? Labbayka abdi. Oh my servant, I'm yours. What do you want? And he commanding the angel of death and the angel of torture to be away. And he's in the group of angels called angel of mercy, Malaikatul Rahmah. This angel, their job is to make sure you will be good, having the right treat. But why Allah in the moment of death he tell you labbayka abdi? Why? If you live as a Muslim here, if you live with Allah now, you live with Allah in the grave. And no another way. Not talk about it, not read it, live it. Live it in your heart. If I live it in heart, I will have no envy, no jealousy, no nothing. Because I'm content with what Allah gave me. I will never look to anybody. I'm content. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. What Allah gave me is the best for me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said something in Quran we have to understand. مَا فَرَقْنَا فِي الْكِتَابِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. I did not leave in the book of Allah nothing. Meaning, I do not leave any topic you need. I did not leave any situation you might need to understand without I have the remedy and medication in Quran. And it's another problem. Everybody talk. How we do this, how we do that. Where's Quran? Quran is a remedy and a medication for all of us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَفَلَا تَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Did you not comprehend Quran? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said, did you not read اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ? He said, صراط المستقيم is the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَإِنْ تَنَزَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ. If you have any dispute among each other, return it to Allah and His Messenger. Show me today a family in a time of inheritance or in a time of divorce or marriage, return the topic to Allah. Show me one. Imam or no imam, scholar or no scholar. When it's come to marriage, we go back to the tribalism. We go back to the clans. My daughter has to marry according to me, according to what my father used to do. And you want the same, and the whole thing becomes on fire. Where is Allah and Rasulullah? It's not there. It's only in the talk, it's only in the speech. How are you going to choose a man? How are you going to choose a woman? You choose it again according to what? Her beauty or her status or her money. Which is the one Rasulullah warned us about. Who among us pick up a man or a woman according to her status of knowledge or piety or wisdom or benefit me? One of the women in the early Islam, she was a very, very intellect woman. And they asked her, they want to get from her knowledge. And they asked her, tell us, who's the most highest man in your life on earth? Or who's the most person we run after on earth? You know what she said? She said, the one he has my benefit with him. The one who can benefit me, this is the one I run after. Do you see it? Think, who you are running after? Who can benefit you? And what kind of benefit? The early companion used to run to marry their daughter and their kids to the pious people. And today, what we do? The pious people is a sign of poverty. Oh, get away from them. Get away. You do not want people. You do not want people. Get away from them. They do not know. They lost their mind. But we become the intellect. Because we have houses, Mercedes-Benz and Lexus. This would make us very high elevated. Right? So the status of us becoming according to what? Our shape and color. What we're driving. What we're having in our foot. Not we have in our heart. Imagine. Like I know a family, when there's somebody coming to marry their daughter, one of the girls go behind the elected husband just to make sure his car, what brand name he have in his shirt. If the brand name is high, meaning he's rich and he has money. If the brand name is low, he's stingy and he's not worth it. Imagine this reality. One family tell me. They make sure they drop something in your shirt, just take your shirt off and check one way or another. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا اخْتَلَفْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَحُكْمُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Whatever you have dispute among each other, his hukm to Allah. Not to me and you. Not to Pakistani and Indian or Arabic or Yemeni or Saudi or whatever. The hukm belongs to Allah. I bear witness, I do not see it. Maybe one family in the last 25 years in my life, I see it following that. Especially in the time of marriage or divorce, we have no Islam. We have no Sunnah. It's only in the speech. And I dare anyone to tell me I marry according to Islam and Sunnah. And in the time of divorce or a time of any action or a time of something, I'm worrying about Quran and Sunnah. But only in the time of talk. Ali ibn Abi Talib, he talked about Quran. You know what he said? About Quran? He said, the one who go toward Quran is almost like the one. He look behind a veil from a tiny hole. Listen carefully. Ali ibn Abi Talib do not talk any talk. Imagine you have a veil. And this veil cannot allow you to see clearly behind. And you have a hole. And you're looking from the hole through the veil to behind the scene. He said this Quran. Quran allow you to look behind the veils. Look at these people. Look at their understanding. Now, I'm not going to go through all of them. One of the early tabi'in, he said, if the slave of Allah, Allah give him 1,000 understanding and comprehending with every letter, he will not have enough. He said, because the Quran and the word and the word of Allah and the letter of Allah is like an ocean, has no limit. And the comprehending of Allah is unlimited. It is the word of Allah. And the word of Allah leads us to the quality and attribute of Allah. And the quality of attribute of Allah has no limit. Like some sister in the camera was asking me about some of the books of the most beautiful name of Allah. Some scholars said it's 255. Some people said it's 289. Some people said 278. And they asked me, how come? We only heard about the most beautiful name of Allah is 99. Where does he get the 200 or 150 more from? Anybody know? Is this people right or wrong and why? Is the most beautiful name of Allah or the name of Allah is 99 name or more or less or what?
There are more because some are revealed, it's like really special people that are really close to Allah and most of them we don't know about.
You give one answer from four answers. Do you know what he said? He said, because most some of these names of Allah, Allah give it to whom he wants. It's not even revealed. And if you do not believe me, this is the word of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do you remember the hadith, which is a dua? Allah, Rasulullah sallam, he said, whoever have a calamity, whoever have a problem, and he makes this dua, Allah take all his problem away. Anybody remember the dua? No. This if you lost something. If you have a calamity, you say it is the first thing, but dua. Allahumma inni abduka, ibn abdika, ibn amatika, nasiyati biyadik, madin fi hukmak, adlun fi qada'ik, as'alaka bi kulli ismin sammayta bihi nafsak. I ask you with every name you call yourself with it. This is the first type of names. I ask you by every name you call yourself with it. Do we know it? No. أَوْ أَنْزَلْتَهُ فِي كِتَابِكَ or you reveal it in your book. أَوْ عَلَّمْتَهُ أَحَدًا مِنْ خَلْقِكَ or you're teaching to some of your servant. أَوْ اسْتَأْثَرْتَ بِهِ فِي عِلْمِ الْغَيْبَ عِنْدَكَ or you kept it in the knowledge of unseen with you, Ya Allah. You see how many names of Allah? But also we have to know The name of Allah, according to Quran and Sunnah, is in Quran, some of the name of Allah. In Hadith Qudsi, some of the name of Allah. In different Ahadith, some of the name of Allah. And in one Hadith is 99 names. When the scholar collected together, they find it's over 280, 279, 255, according to different scholars. Do you know now where it's getting from? By this way, the 99 name of Allah is not the only one. But you have some in Quran, some in Hadith Qudsi, some in different Ahadith, and some in one Hadith. By this way, the most beautiful name of Allah, the attribute of Allah, is unlimited. What we know about it is approximately close to 300, if you know. Can we have more? Sure. But this internal now, not in its revelation from Allah, inspiration from Allah to whom He loved. Okay? Now, how much time we have?
18 minutes.
18 minutes? MashaAllah. Now, we go to something very important, it will make a big difference in our life. How Quran revealed? How Quran revealed? We said, the Quran we have in our hand is not in the same sequence of revelation. Now, the scholar have a dispute. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ, the month of Ramadan, the one Allah revealed in the Quran. And inna anzalnahu fi laylat al-qadr. Allah revealed it in laylat al-qadr. Now, how? According to this view of the scholars, he said, Allah revealed the Quran in Sama' al-Dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descended the Quran in Sama' al-Dunya, and after that has been divided over 23 years, Jibreel alayhi salam come and take from it. And they say many things. We know one thing. Do you remember Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he had a situation, what Jibreel alayhi wa sallam, he said, let me go ask Allah. Let me go ask Allah. Allah revealed such and such. Now, the how and where is located, because we do not have authentic knowledge, I do not lie. Any topic is not authentic, why we go through it? But we know for a fact, Quran has revealed somewhere, somehow, in Laylat al-Qadr. It's completely revealed, it's part of it revealed, where is revealed? Only Allah knows. This is much easier for all of us. And otherwise, once we go to a scholar, each one has his own level of knowledge and comprehending, but in the meantime, all of them, this is jihad. This is their own interpretation according to their own knowledge. Do we have a word from Allah or a word from Rasulullah SAW really tell us exactly what happened? No. But what we learn from that? Something I said it before in here. What is it? Why Allah revealed it over 23 years? And even if we go to Quran, this is not a question we raise today or the non-Muslim raise. Actually, the Arabic people and the non-Muslim at the time of revelation, they ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They ask him, Ya Rasulullah or Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not send it? And this you find it in Surah Al-Furqan, verse 32. Surah Al-Furqan, verse 32, when the disbeliever said, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفْرُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ عَلَيْهِ الْقُرْآنَ جُمْلَ وَاحِدًا. Why Quran do not reveal one time? Why Ya Muhammad you come with one book and that's it? And tell us, this is the book of Allah. Why? In the past, everybody coming with a book. Why you not come book with Allah just like that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after that he said, كَذَلِكَ نُتَبِّتْ بِهِ فُؤَادَ. This is too steadfast your fu'ad. What is fu'ad? Fu'ad, they said, Fu'ad is the comprehending of the heart, is the mirror of your heart, is the lobe, is the core of your mind and your heart. Okay? And this Surah Al-Furqan again, 32. What about us? What we learn from that? Because every time we go, we have to get the wisdom. What behind it? You see, you remember what I tell you today? If we today want to really be a good Muslim, any one of us, each one of us is unique. You might be the year one in Mecca. You can be year two. You can be year four. You can be year five. Now what happened? If I'm honest, I look. Where am I from Mecca and Medina? Is me the first year in Mecca? Second year in Mecca? Third year in Mecca? Where am I? And go back. And find out what is the message at this time was to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I tell you something, all of us, we didn't even start Mecca. Honest to Allah, we didn't even start Mecca. Because if you tell me the first year in Mecca, I will challenge you. Because the people who embrace Islam in the first year of Mecca, they do it da'wah day and night. They already struggle for Allah. By this way, if you tell me you have Quran Makki year one, I'll tell you you are a liar. Why? Because you're not living according to 1 year Mecca time. You're not living it. You're not sacrificing the way it is. When Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu embraced Islam, he came to Rasulullah and he said, Ya Rasulullah, after I said, La ilaha illallah Muhammad, what I do? He said, Ya Abu Bakr, what I'm doing, you do. Very simple. What I'm doing, you do. Today, how many of us spending money in the path of Allah? How many of us spending time in the path of Allah? How many of us sacrificing their time and wealth just to spread Islam among even yourself or your family or your relative? How? But we worry about being a good Muslim. We worry about my family. We worry about my kids. This is not Islam. This is not even the message number one. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُوا أَنفُسُكُمْ وَأَهْلِكُمْ نَارًا. Yes, protect yourself and your family. But does it mean to be a selfish? No. It should be with a status and intention. Yes, I correct myself, I build my knowledge, I build with me my iman with the intention to convey it to others. Right away, action. Action. The whole topic, the whole Islam is dynamic, action. Why our house isn't empty? Why we have the computer on? Why we have the movie on? Why? Because we're empty. We're sitting, what do you want me to do, mommy? Or go watch television, my son or my daughter. Why? Because we're so empty. But if I'm busy learning, teaching, giving, going, bringing down, inviting others, doing, I have no time. I have no time. And this is a Muslim in Mecca, have no time. He was running. He was running from house to house. What Rasulullah said? Is anything you read? Tell me, what happened? What Rasulullah have? He gave us a message. And they go to house to house, house to house. This is how they build Islam. House to house is how they build unity. The poor get supported from the rich. The rich sacrificing his mind for the poor and the slave to let them free. Imagine if the Muslim in Mecca did exactly like us. They would never leave even Mecca. Everybody worrying about himself, close the door, and that's it. It's almost like if I'm a good Muslim today, everybody can go to her fire, it's not my business. You miss the whole topic. You miss the whole Islam. Islam is not selfish. Islam is not greed. Allah give me a gift, I have to give it back. It's almost like money. If Allah give me money and I save it, I'm in trouble. Because if Allah give me money, I have to spend it quick. And otherwise I'll be questioned about it. Similar, if I have knowledge, I have to spend it. How I spend my knowledge? By giving it back. And all the time. And should be my priority. Because I'm working for Jannah. And I'm not working for dunya, I'm working for Jannah. By this way, revelation came in the month of Ramadan in Laylatul Qadr. How much is the Quran came all completed? Is the Quran came slowly, step by step? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala know, but we know it came slowly according to situation. Is this understood? And this is why some scholar when I was young, he tell me, if any given time you want to build your own iman, go to the Quran Makki. And go step by step according to revelation. And live one surah after one surah. Live one chapter after one chapter and see what you do. You see? And it's very easy. Even if you do not know the sequence exactly, very simple. Go to the Quran. You find Makki and Madani. mark all the Makki and start with it. I tell you something today. If we master one surah, you master the whole Quran. Do you know what surah is that? Surah Al-An'am. Surah Al-An'am, one of the biggest surah, it talks about the oneness of Allah in the beginning of Mecca. And it's actually, according to some report, it was a surah 6 or 7 has been revealed in Mecca. And it's the only surah has been revealed completely in one shot. You understand? By this way, this is number one. Number one, we know, where am I? From revelation. Not from revelation, from revelation. And you take it step by step. And also is, if we go back to what I said before, is one of the miracles of Quran, Jazakallah kulli khair. One of the miracles of Quran is a constitution and a complete system for mankind. If Allah revealed it over time, we'll become today paralyzed. We said, okay, it came over time, and Rasulullah is the one, we do not have Rasulullah, it came all of a sudden, how we do it? And we become paralyzed. But look the wisdom of Allah. Allah revealed it step by step, slowly, to build the whole ummah. From zero to the top, to the peak. It's almost like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us, come here. In any given time, any kind of mankind, you want to build Islam again? Take my 23 years of constitution with complete evidence and action and live it slowly, step by step. And believe me, I promise you, you go with the sequence, you will never go wrong. You will never go wrong. You will never go wrong. Because who's that sequence? Allah. Only you have to go slowly, slowly according to revelation, Mecca and Medina, and don't jump. The moment you jump, meaning you go to Medina with lack of knowledge and lack of iman and yaqeen. And you cannot do the rest. And this is what's happening to the ummah today. In a massive and collective, in a scholar, in an individual, all of them. Why? Because we're jumping. We're jumping so quick. And we're not going slowly to learn iman and yaqeen according to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. Because believe me, if you know who's Allah, it will change your life. If we get the knowledge of Allah in our heart, and we have the word of Allah, word Allah, Allah Jalla Jalalu, if it comes in your heart, it will change your life. Change it completely. But this word cannot come just like that. It's not a word to learn. It's not a session. It's a struggle. If you look, when an early Muslim received this word, it changed them. It changed them. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, what happened? He was a big merchant. 60 stores. By the time he leave Mecca, what he has? Nothing. Where is his money? He spread it. He free all his slaves. He support them. And similar, all the companions struggle, only two develop their own faith between them and Allah. Why? It's a merchant, it's a business. Imagine I give you a store and I open it for you and you do not go at all and you want to make money. Tell me. You open the store and you leave it open and you do not go. This is what we're doing. Allah give us a store, the merchant. What's the merchant? The merchant is Islam. The merchant is Quran. The merchant is the mercy of Allah, guidance to mankind. And what happened to us? We live the job. We live the duty. And we are in our garbage. And this is the main message. Because what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَ لِلْعَالَمِينَ, I did not send you except mercy to mankind. Imagine when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's a messenger, كَافَةً لِلنَّاسِ. How Rasulullah can be a messenger to mankind when he will die after 23 years? Because we, the carrier of the message. We, the carrier of Quran. To sit on the internet and keep fighting each other, argue with knowledge and no knowledge? Is this Islam and Dawah? No. Dawah full of sacrifice. Da'wah full of sacrifice. If you do not sacrifice, you do not know da'wah. What about knowledge? Da'wah do not need knowledge. Da'wah do not need money. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he set the rule. Rasulullah is illiterate. Rasulullah is poor. Rasulullah is orphan. By this way, if you're orphan, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you have no objection. You have no argue. My Prophet is an orphan. You have no money? He said, my Prophet does not have no money. You have no knowledge? He's illiterate. You have no excuse. All you need is to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look to the first couple of surah has been revealed. Iqra, Ya Ayyuha al-Muddathir, Ya Ayyuha al-Muzammil. All of them go to Allah right away. Right away, recognize Allah. Recognize the one who teach you. Do you think you're crying to Allah and tell him, Allah teach me? Allah will not teach you? By the way, do you know, if you hold Quran in your hand, is adab, is manner, the way you hold it, the way you're sitting. I see people sitting, lying down. Sitting, people sleeping in their face. People sitting and their feet up and down. This is disgrace to yourself. The way you sit, the way you receive. Don't ever forget me. The way you sit, the way you receive. You have to sit like a beggar, begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to sit with respect to what you have in your hand. You try to be in wudu, facing qibla, having perfume, making miswak. The more you're sitting with adab and manner, the more Allah will give you. After that intention, today we su'al again. You pick up the Quran and tafsir, I know. And what you know? He said, who said, I do not know. Know what? Imagine, did you ask Allah for light? Did you ask Allah for basira? Did you ask Allah for anything? Are you the master of the Quran? Astaghfirullah al-Azim. Imagine if I hold the Quran and I do not even make dua between me and Allah to Allah open for me. Why Allah will open for me? I see us today, we have the Western ideology. We have the Western mentality. We have the Western ideology and mentality in our heart. We see arrogant, we see ignorant. We don't believe in Allah really. You know why? I will tell you why. Imagine when I have a problem. When I'm reading Quran, when I'm reading Hadith, but I do not call Allah at all. I know. Who's the teacher? If I said that, who's the teacher? Who's my teacher? Shaitan. My hawa. Imagine if I do not ask Allah, and if I sit down, I have a problem. Somebody did something to me. What I do? Oh Allah, lead me Allah. Guide me Allah. Show me Allah. Tell me what to do, Ya Allah. How many of us do that? Give me guidance, Ya Allah. Give me light, Ya Allah. Give me wisdom, Ya Allah. How many of us do that? But right away, I know. Who said you know? Did you quote the wise? Did you quote the one who owns of guidance and light? How you know Quran and Hadith when you do not quote Allah? How? How you respect any Islamic book? The Islamic book containing the ink. Like one of the scholars said, the book containing the ink. But the blessing and mercy of Allah save it. And He give it to whom He want. Ink will not give you too much. Only what you have in your heart and your adab and manner. We're going to go through it in time coming. The adab and manner of reading the Quran. Now, we also have a dispute about who's the first one collecting Quran. Believe it or not, the first one collecting Quran was Abu Bakr. And he collected and gave it to his daughter. And after that, when the time came with Omar again collects the rest and leave it. And when Uthman came, radiallahu anhu, he's the first one to collect it and make it as a mushaf, make it as a book. How many minutes?
Five.
Okay.
But it's 1:25.
Okay. Do you understand? By this way, this is the first part of what we learn. What time are we supposed to stop? 1:00? Okay. Believe it or not, I was wanting to go through this topic today, but I'm going to go through the basic. Once we have the basic, by the will of Allah, I'm going to go straight to some, like I tell you, the jewel and the star of Quran about each surah, and I will teach you by the will of Allah how you can gain the main messages of every chapter. How you know exactly what is the main message. Because today is not the matter of tafsir, it's the matter of the message of Allah. Imagine if I do not comprehend the message of Allah, what anybody can give me? If I do not master the messages of Allah, anybody can give me anything? No way. By this way, number one is the messages of Allah. Once we master the message of Allah and what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said and what the companion said, now at least we have the basic. The basic can lead us how I can comprehend. When you do that and you're reading Quran, I promise you, Quran at this time will make a big, huge difference in your life. I promise you, inshallah. Okay, inshallah, we have almost like 15 minutes or 20 minutes. You prefer to continue or you have a question and answer? It's up to you. You have question and answer or you want to continue? Okay, give me one moment, inshallah. Now, about the sequence and the tartib of the Quran, we have known, we know, we said Quran revealed in a certain sequence. And just 1 year before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died, Jibreel alayhi salam came and he said, Ya Rasulullah, Allah tell you, take this verse, put it here, this chapter, put it here. And Jibreel alayhi salam teaching Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the final sequence of the Quran. By this way, revelation came according to certain situation. And the Quran, the way it's set up in the end, it's set up this way. What's the wisdom behind it is many, many wisdom. Some of it we can know, and some of it we will never know. Because also you have to know something in Islam called fitna. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell Rasulullah to pray toward Jerusalem? And after a few months or a few years, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell him to change the qibla and go back to Mecca. Okay, why? There's a wisdom behind it. There's a wisdom. A lot of wisdom. Some of the wisdom we might know, some of the wisdom we will never know. Okay? We're not going to talk about it now because this can be, each one of these questions can be a topic by itself. Okay? What about the amount of Quran? How many, you know, verse, how many chapter? We know the Quran, how many chapter? Hmm? 114, correct? How many Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim? 113. Why Surah At-Tawbah is missing one? Anybody know? Yeah. What happened is some scholar give interpretation. It said the surah was very, very strong and very tough and was the beginning of the real fighting against the kuffar and the hypocrite and this interpretation. But nobody ever say anything. By this way, we take it and we say it's a wisdom from Allah. Some scholar said, oh, how Allah can stir a topic like that with his mercy. By this way, he did not say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. All this interpretation, but it's not authentic report from Allah or Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But we say a wisdom from Allah. Some people said no, but the number 14, the number 114, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, where is located? Yeah? You have one Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim extra. Where in the Quran? You remember? You remember when Sulaiman alayhi salam and he gets the letter and it's the only Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim in Quran. Okay? And some people said this make it the 114. But Allah decided to be located in different place. All this interpretation and understanding. But the main thing we go back and said is a wisdom from Allah. Yes. You cannot, when you read Surah At-Tawbah, you cannot start it with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You cannot. But after you started and you stop somewhere, you can recite Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. But you cannot start it with Bismillah. You cannot. Now, I said before the name of the Quran, and Quran has many names, believe it or not, many names. One scholar collected in approximately how many? Quran has 55 names, one scholar have it. And I'm going to try to go through it very quick. Is this a table of order that need to be changed? Now, the 55 names of the Quran, again, is not authentic, is a work of a scholar. But where did he take it from? From Quran. Okay? Now we're going to go through it quick, inshaAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he called Quran a book. Hameen wal kitab al mubin. Surah al Dukhan, verse 1-2. That's why Allah called al Quran kitaban, a book. Wasammahu Quranan, innahu la Quran al kareem. Surah al Waqi'ah, verse 77. Okay? And Quranan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the name. وَسَمَّهُ كَلَامًا. Allah called it a kalam, a word. حَتَّى يَسْمَعَ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ. Surah At-Tawbah, verse 6. By this way, the Quran is kalam Allah. And this was a big story behind it. In the time of many khalifa, many imam, even Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Imam Malik, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Abu Hanifa, some of them get beat up so severe just because it was a big fitna in the Ummah. Is Quran is a revelation, is a word of Allah, or makhluq, is a creation? And this was a big debate. And the people who believe is a creation, anybody said is a word of Allah, they get beat up. And one of them, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahmatullah alayhi wa radiyallahu anhu, he get beat up so severely, okay, for that. And Imam Malik too. وَسَمَّاهُ نُورًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he called the Quran a nur, light. وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكُمْ نُورًا مُبِينًا. This is what in Nisa, verse 174. وَسَمَّاهُ هُدًا. فقال هدى ورحمة للمحسنين. Guidance, هدى. سورة لقمان, verse 3. وسماه رحمة. Allah called it a mercy. قل بفضل الله وبرحمته فبذلك فليفرحوا. Say, by the extra and فضل of Allah and His mercy, they should be happy. This سورة يونس, 58. By the way, Quran is a mercy. وَسَمَّاهُ فُرْقَانًا. فُرْقَانًا in English, criterion. The distinguish between right, light, and dark. Right and evil. تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي نَزَّلَ الْفُرْقَانَ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ. Surah Al-Isra, verse 282. وَسَمَّاهُ مَوْعِظَةً. Allah called Quran a wisdom. قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوَعِظَةٌ مِّنَ رَبِّكُمْ. Allah send you a wisdom from your Lord. And this is something, this verse is coming to my heart and say, imagine if we do not know the wisdom of Allah, how we can carry wisdom? If we do not even know the wisdom of Allah, how we can carry wisdom? How we can be the people of wisdom? Because actually we are wise according to the wisdom Allah gives. You want to gain wisdom? Get closer to Allah, Allah give you wisdom. وَسَمَّاهُ ذِكْرًا فَقَالَ وهذا ذكر مبارك أنزلناه. ذكر, a reminder. This Surah Al-Anbiya, verse 15. وسماه كريما فقال إنه لقرآن كريم. Allah called it كريم. كريم in Arabic is not a generosity, is more than generosity. It's a high generosity. Does anybody know Kareem by English, what it means? Kareem means something Kareem.
Right?
No. Kareem is like something generous, high, expensive, precious. This Kareem. You see, this man is Kareem. This person is Kareem. He's generous, he's kind. It's all together. It's applied. It's so high, it's so quality. You respect him. Because anything Kareem is high. Even the stone. You said the stone is Kareem stone. You know, it's a very precious stone. وَسَمَّاهُ عَلِيًّا. Very high, very exalted. وَإِنَّهُ فِي أُمِّ الْكِتَابِ لَدَيْنَا لَعَلِيٌّ حَكِيمٌ. It's so high, so exalted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the word of Allah is so exalted, so high. وَسَمَّاهُ حِكْمًا فَقَالَ حِكْمَةٌ بَالِغَةٌ. Surah Al-Qamar, verse 5. And before that, Surah Al-Zukhruf, verse 41. By this way, it's a wisdom. وَسَمَّاهُ حَكِيمًا, the wise man, or the wise one. By this way, Quran is the wise one. This why, if you hold Quran, you become wise. If you do not hold Quran, you have no wisdom. And holding Quran, you mean not reading it, no living it, understand it, comprehend it. مهيمنا مصدقا لما بين يديه من الكتاب ومهيمنا عليه. Quran is مهيمنا. What مهيمنا? The one who oversees anything. The one that distinguish between the bad and wrong. وسماه مباركا, blessed. كتاب أنزلناه إليك مبارك. This book is so blessed. وسماه حبلا, the robe of Allah. واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا. Get together and get united in the robe of Allah. The early people said, what is the robe of Allah? The Quran. وَسَمَّاهُ صِرَاطًا مُسْتَقِيمًا. And he called it the Sirat al-Mustaqim, the right path. وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِ مُسْتَقِيمًا. This is my right path. وَسَمَّاهُ الْقَيِّمْ فَقَالَ وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ عِوَجًا قَيِّمًا. By this way, Quran is قَيِّم. Qayyim is, the Qayyim is the high, strong one, the above one. وَسَمَّاهُ فَصْلًا فَقَالَ إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلٌ فَصْلٌ. Fasl, the fasl is the distinguish, the cut. When you do fasl between something and another, you have two groups of something. And you divide the both of them. At this time it becomes fasl. By this way, Quran is do fasl between one thing to another. وَسَمَّاهُ نَبَأً عَظِيمًا. عَمَّ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ عَنِ النَّبَأِ الْعَظِيمِ. By this way, سَمَّاهُ نَبَأَ عَظِيمًا. The ultimate news, the great news. وَسَمَّاهُ أَحْسَنَ الْحَدِيثِ. Allah نَزَّلَ أَحْسَنَ الْحَدِيثِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the best talk, the best comprehending talk. وسماه تنزيلا, revealed. وإنه لتنزيل رب العالمين. It is revealed from your Lord, the Lord of heaven and universe. وسماه روحا, Allah called it a soul. وكذلك أوحينا إليك روحا من أمرنا. We revealed to you روحا من أمرنا. By this way, Quran is ruh. وسماه وحيا. إنما أنذركم بالوحي. الوحي revelation or inspiration. وسماه المثاني فقال ولقد أتيناك سبعا من المثاني. The always twos. وسماه قولا, وسماه عربيا. قرآنا عربيا. الله سبحانه وتعالى he revealed عربيا, Arabic. By the way, all these names is in Quran. By this way, nobody can dispute where it's coming from. It's in Quran by itself. By this way, also sometimes people say, why Quran is Arabic? Very simple. We cannot say because it's revealed in Arabic people. No, Allah revealed it this way. Finished. Allah wanted this way. We cannot come in with our own interpretation. Because the moment you said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed it in Arabic people, that's be Arabic, he said, why he revealed it to somebody else? Why he didn't give us his word in a different language? No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I revealed to you Quran in Arabic. And look at the wisdom of Allah. Every dispute mankind come with it, you find the answer in Quran. In Quran, the answer. وَسَمَّاهُ قَوْلًا وَلَقَدْ وَصَلْنَا إِلَاهُمُ الْقَوْلِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Quran is a qawl, is a talk. وَسَمَّاهُ بَصَائِرٌ فَقَالَ هَذَا بَصَائِرٌ لِلنَّاسِ. Quran is a basira, is a vision. Imagine if I do not have Quran, how I have vision? We, all of us, get vision according to the amount of understanding and comprehending Quran. وَسَمَّاهُ بَيَانًا هَذَا بَيَانٌ لِلنَّاسِ. Bayan is like when you said what is bayan? Bayan is like, you know, not a speech, a message. It can be a message, but it has another word, but it can be a message. وَسَمُّهُ عِلْمًا وَلَئِنِ اتَّبَعْتَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ بَعْدَ مَا جَاءَكَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ. It is the knowledge. By this way, the ultimate knowledge on earth, what is it? It's the knowledge of Quran. وَسَمَّهُ حَقًّا إِنَّ هَذَا لَهُوَ الْقَصَصُ الْحَقِّ. The truth. وَسَمَّهُ الْهَادِي إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَهْدِي. The one who would cause you to be guided. وَسَمَّهُ عَجَبًا فَقَالَ قُرْآنًا عَجَبًا. It's so wonder. You want the wonder? The wonder of the Quran. وَسَمَّهُ تَذْكِرًا وَإِنَّهُ لَتَذْكِرًا. As a reminder. وَسَمَّهُ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوَثْقَى فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوَثْقَى. Hold tight to the strong word of Allah. كِتَابًا مُتَشَابِهًا. And it is similar. It has a lot of similarity inside. صِدْقًا, a truthful. The truthful is one. وَالَّذِي جَاءَكَ بِالْصِدْقِ is the Quran. وَسَمَّهُ عَدْلًا, the just. وَتَمَّتْ كَلِمَةُ رَبِّكَ صِدْقًا وَعَدْلًا. وَسَمَّهُ إِيمَانًا فَقَالَ سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَانِ. Faith. وَسَمَّهُ أَمْرًا فَقَالَ ذَلِكَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ, is the command of Allah. وَسَمَّهُ بُشْرًا فَقَالَ هُدًى وَبُشْرًا, a glad tidings. وَسَمَّهُ مَجِيدًا بَلْ هُوَ قُرْآنٌ مَجِيدٌ. Majid is something so exalted. وَسَمَّهُ زَبُورًا فَقَالَ وَقَدْ كَتَبْنَا فِي الزَّبُورِ, because Quran containing everything. وَسَمَّهُ مُبِينًا فَقَالَ أَلِفْ لَا مْرَى تِلْكَ آيَاتُ الْكُتَابِ الْمُبِينِ. Mubin, the one, is nothing can destroy, is nothing can go through. وَسَمَّهُ بَشِيرًا وَنَذِيرًا فَقَالَ بَشِيرًا وَنَذِيرًا. The one, he lead you, so a glad tidings and a warner to the one who do not obey. وَسَمَّهُ عَزِيزًا, the dignifying one. وَإِنَّهُ لَكِتَابٌ عَزِيزٌ. This is why I said before, the more we hold this Quran, the more we hold tight in the robe of Allah with the dignity of Allah, the more Allah gives us dignity. وَسَمَّهُ بَلَاغًا فَقَالَ هَذَا بَلَاغٌ لِلنَّاسِ. وَسَمَّهُ قَصَصًا فَقَالَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ, the best story, the best story. And the author said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also, he put Quran four names in one verse. فِي صُحُفُ الْمُكَرَّمَةِ مَرْفُوعَةِ الْمُطَحَّرَةِ. Four names. صُحُف, مُكَرَّمَة. صُحُف is like sheets. مُكَرَّمَة, so elevated. مَرْفُوعَة, so high. mutahhara, so pure. And this surah Abasa, ayat verse 13 and 14. By this way, we have all this meaning of the Quran. The more we get closer to the Quran, by the meaning of the Quran, the more the reality of Quran, the soul of Quran, the wisdom of Quran, the light of Quran coming to us. Now it is 1 o'clock, and alhamdulillah, we stopped at the name of Quran and the comprehending of the name of Quran. Now, I advise you what to do. In the end of something like that, be careful of your talking. Do you know why we lose a lot? Now imagine, we have a halaqa. We talk about the highest knowledge anybody can have on earth. If you talk nonsense after that immediately, do you know what happened? You lose everything you gain. And this is why we lose a lot. But I should be leaving with sakina, with calmness and tranquility. I should not talk, and I should be in a state of begging to Allah. Oh Allah, give me the comprehending of what I know. Give me the knowledge of what I know. Give me the basira, the vision of what I know. Oh Allah, give me the light and wisdom of what I know. And I keep crying to Allah. I be in a state of begging to Allah. If I do that, now the reality of what you see and what you hear coming to you. But if I start all of a sudden, I lose everything and will be disgraced to what I heard. And this is why a lot of us losing a lot. Because imagine I give you a diamond. You keep looking to the diamond, you think about the diamond, the value of the diamond, or you take it away and you look to the garbage for something else. Because is any talk above what we're talking about? Is any knowledge you can seek above that? Now, all of you, if you stay in a state of begging, you won't talk to each other, talk to each other about what you heard. But number one, you talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you ask Allah to give you the comprehending, and the basira, and the vision, and the knowledge, and the wisdom, and the barakah, and the blessing, and the mercy, and the tawfiq to live according to what we say. Inshallah. Subhanallah, now is 1 o'clock. Any question or any concern? Say it again?
The first 2/3 of the Quran, all Makki and the rest of Madani. Or what's the sequence? How the Surah?
No, the sequence of the Quran is not Zawiyyah. The sequence of the Quran is mixed. But what you can do, you can go to the index of the Quran, look to the old Makki, start it with it. You start the Makki Surah, always read it first and live it. Think about it. We'll talk about it later, inshallah, tomorrow, inshallah, if we're still alive. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وحسبي الله ونعم الوكيل وأفوض أمري إلى الله اللهم صل على الحبيب المصطفى صلاة تملأ خزائن الله نورا وتكون لنا وللمؤمنين فرجا وفرحا وسرورا وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا اللهم ارزقنا علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وشفاء من كل داء اللهم ارزقنا بصيرة العلم وفهم العلم ونور العلم اللهم فهمنا ما علمنا وذكرنا بما نسينا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين واجعل هذا العلم مباركا من عندك يا رب العالمين ونورا وزهرا لنا في الدنيا والآخرة يا أرحم الراحمين خالصا لوجهك الكريم من غير بدعة ولا رياء ولا عجب ولا كبر يا رب العالمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وباعد بيننا وبين كل ما لا تحب ولا ترضى يا رب العالمين واشرح صدورنا لنور الإيمان ونور القرآن وعلى سنة الحبيب المصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت راض عنا يتقبل منا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه